KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8:05, we have a partly cloudy sky at 65 degrees in Atlantic. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. We look for it to be partly cloudy today, with isolated showers and thunderstorms developing late and a high around 80. Winds will be southwesterly this morning, shifting to the northwest this afternoon at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The Page County Sheriff's Office today reports an arrest has been made in connection with a death that took place last June. Sheriff Lyle Palmer said on Monday at 4 p.m., officers arrested 51-year-old Melissa Renee Pedersen of Clarinda on a Page County warrant for felony dependent adult abuse. Pedersen was taken into custody without incident and transported to the Page County Jail, where she was being held on $11,000 cash-only bail. Sheriff Palmer said the arrest of Melissa Pedersen stems from an investigation conducted by the Clarinda Police Department and Iowa State Medical Examiner's Office into the death of Thomas Joseph Pedersen, who was found dead in his home at 600 West Lincoln Street on June 2, 2020. Melissa Pedersen and Thomas Pedersen were married and resided together at the time of Thomas Pedersen's death. Reports have been forwarded to the Page County Attorney's Office for decisions concerning the filing of formal charges. Police in Creston say a man residing in the 700 block of Hickory Street reported on April 24th that someone broke into his vehicle and stole his backpack and a silver Apple MacBook Pro laptop computer. The loss was estimated at $1,800. Also, the state of Iowa recently received a payment of nearly $53 million from the tobacco companies involved in the 1998 settlement agreement. Spokesman for the Iowa Attorney General's Office, Lynn Hicks, said the payments are made every April.
We're up now to $1.36 billion that has come into the state as a result of this settlement with the tobacco companies.
The state sold bonds based on the settlement to get money up front and uses the payments each year to pay bondholders. Hicks says that's what will happen this year.
The bulk of this, about 78%, goes to those bondholders that bought the bonds issued by the Tobacco Settlement Authority. About 22% of it, the rest, including $11.6 million this year, goes into the state's general fund. So that's it's up to the legislature and the governor as to how that money will be spent.
He says they worked with the state treasurer recently to refinance those bonds.
So as a result, the state is going to save some money, about $167 million in savings over the life of the bond.
The settlement also created restrictions on the advertising, marketing, and promotion of cigarettes, including a ban on targeting children through advertising. Hicks says those efforts to cut smoking have had success.
You know, I think back, that was 24% of U.S. adults smoked back in around the time that this was signed. We're now down to around 14%.
Iowa and 45 other states were part of the settlement, and Hicks says the state will continue to get payments as long as the tobacco companies continue to sell cigarettes. A House committee has approved legislation to forbid Iowa businesses, schools, and government facilities from denying entry to people who haven't had the COVID vaccine. In addition, all government entities in Iowa would be barred from issuing ID cards with a person's vaccination history. Representative Stephen Holt, a Republican from Denison, said employment, travel, and normal participation in society shouldn't be decided by whether someone has been vaccinated.
I think vaccine passports are un-American. I think they're unconstitutional, and I think they're unacceptable.
During a public hearing on the bill, Nicole Hasso of Johnston told lawmakers she wants to return to BC, that's before COVID, and she opposes any kind of a vaccine mandate.
This is a personal choice. This is an individual choice. And we should not be told how to live our lives or what we're going to put in our bodies or what we can't put in our bodies.
A number of other speakers urged lawmakers to go farther and prohibit hospitals and healthcare facilities from requiring that patients or visitors be vaccinated against COVID-19. Courtney Collier of Waukee says it's about a body's autonomy.
Let's not muddy the waters any more than we already have this last year with more inhumane and tyrannical dictates.
Holt says he spent several weeks negotiating over the details and is sympathetic to critics who say the bill doesn't go far enough.
I started out exactly where many of you talked about today and basically went backwards based upon getting to the point where I felt we could get something actually signed into law as opposed to academic discussions that don't result in action.
A spokesman for the Iowa Hospital Association said hospitals need to have a patient's medical history, including information about vaccinations, in order to provide the best care, and the association opposes changes in the bill. Adair County Sheriff Jeff Vandewater on Monday reported two recent arrests at around 3 a.m. Saturday. 27-year-old Matthew Ray Garcia of Creston was arrested following a traffic stop in Orient. And upon investigation, an Adair County deputy observed many opened shooter-sized bottles of whiskey scattered throughout the rear of the car, some of the bottles still containing alcohol. The deputy also observed Garcia's eyes were bloodshot and watery. Based on those clues and the breath alcohol test, Garcia was arrested for OWI first offense. He was released later that same day in $1,000 cash or surety bond. And Friday evening, 18-year-old Kason Eugene Hewlett of Lenox was arrested at the Taylor County Jail on an Adair County warrant for violation of probation. Hewlett was being held in the Adair County Jail at a $5,000 cash or surety bond. And finally in the news, the Pottawatomie County Sheriff reports numerous arrests covering the period of April 16th through the 25th. We'll just recap some of them for you. On Sunday, April 25th, a 14-year-old female was arrested in Crescent following a call about a trespasser. The teen faces charges that include theft in the fifth degree for larceny under $300 and trespass with intent as a hate crime. Friday morning, 36-year-old Tiffany Ann Newcomb of Logan was served at the Pott County Jail with arrest warrants for absence from custody and failure to appear. She was then returned to the custody of corrections staff. You can read about the other arrests in the same story on our news page at KJAN.com. That's a check of the news. I'm Rick Hansen, KJAN News.